We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, talking today with Dr. Timothy Schaefer here with the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy, which he is the director of, and a professor at K-State as well. We were talking about how young people are engaging in elections these days, and this, you know, the trend seems to be there's more active participation in the voting process. I will say one thing. When I step into the poll, I'm guilty of this as well. I don't know some of the other positions down the ballot. The judges, I think, is a big one, and I think there needs to be somewhere where we can get more information on our judges. And I don't know if maybe the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy has resources for that, because we're at a point here where a lot of laws are changing and judges are stepping in to make decisions on certain things. That would be a good one for people to know more about.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and it's been kind of studied and known for a long time, the kind of down ballot candidates or issues. This is where kind of ballot initiatives, depending things like sales tax and other kind of topics that get put in front of people, are often on the backside of the sheets, so to speak, if you're still doing the paper forms. You know, those things, there's a loss, right? And when we think about it in larger elections and say presidential elections, you know, the names at the tops of the ballot are the ones that get the attention, and you start to get down and it starts to become more convoluted in some fashion. And especially for certain races, in the judiciary is a striking example, right? It's nonpartisan. People, depending on what level we're talking about, but generally they're appointed or kind of elevated. And then in Kansas, a lot of these are about retention, so keeping them and the like at the state level. But this is where, and I will note, you know, there are a lot of organizations, the League for Women Voters, for example, and others provide a lot of good basic information about kind of the whole host of candidates. It's important to utilize some of those kinds of resources because it allows you to not see something purely through kind of a partisan lens, which is one of the frustrations that in our primaries earlier this summer, if you make a call for the school board, there were some questions that were coming up about, you know, political parties kind of hosting events with certain candidates. And so then it became kind of de facto information that they were aligning with kind of ideologically one party or another. And I think, you know, that raises all sorts of, I think, complications. And importantly, you know, if something is fundamentally not purely locked into that kind of framework of are you a Democrat, are you a Republican, it becomes more helpful. A lot of research, I'm thinking of Liliana Mason, who's now Johns Hopkins, has studied this, and many others who note that the primary kind of distinguishing kind of characteristic and identifier for people is party affiliation, not necessarily what their actual policy views are. And so the kind of nuance and complexity that can come with being a human gets kind of washed away when we just say, wait, what are they categorically? Are they this or are they that? And that's a real detriment. And so, you know, experiencing that, again, at some of these kind of levels, at the local level particularly, and as you know, to your point about judges, there are places to find some information. The challenge, and this is why many other countries, not necessarily in the United States, but many countries, particularly in the European Union, will have this kind of expectation of you've got ideological kind of diversity, and then they get elevated basically to say they've got the knowledge, the ability to do this, and then it's almost devoid of some of this kind of political culture because it's, you know, just yesterday, in fact, I was part of participating in an event in Washington, D.C., and there were panelists. There were two who were on D.C. circuits, the D.C. circuit, I should say, so just below the Supreme Court. And they were talking about, like, you know, they ideologically were both left and right. And they said, we never talk about a case through the lens of who appointed me, right? And so I think part of the kind of the broader public's view of some of this gets, you know, unfortunately, I think tainted a little bit by a lot of these layers. So all that's to say there's an element of more information. Certain races, it's particularly relevant to really be aware of that. to be a judge, for example, it's a little bit less nuanced, but there are, you know, certain kind of hot button issues, kind of cultural divide issues that I think unfortunately sometimes dominate anything else that we might want to know about a candidate or say someone going up for a position or being retained for that. So League of Women Voters is a great spot, and there are others kind of in that vein that looking at them as trusted kind of third-party sources is really important as we're getting into elections. Obviously, if you want to vote kind of straight ticket on something, then find your kind of respective place for that, and you can go that route. But if you're looking for more kind of unbiased, kind of neutral information about candidates, then I would encourage you to maybe step a little bit away from that. You know, what totally plugs you into how you kind of see the world, and maybe you think a little bit differently about it.
Yeah, partisanship seems to just dominate everything. And you know, one of the goofiest things I've heard it even at the local level here is, you know, our races here, and they're supposed to be, the city and the school board are supposed to be nonpartisan. Well, yeah, that's great in theory, but I think most of us, if you've been following the news, you kind of know where people's politics fall, especially on the school board race.
Yeah, and again, it's not bad. I mean, having strong positions is totally fine. I think to live in a pluralistic, democratic kind of liberal society in that classic sense is that we have kind of heterodoxy, right? We've got people with lots of different views, and I think that's good. That's important. One of the challenges is that it's easier to just kind of slide into this person affiliates or is affiliated with this political party, and so that's my shorthand to know what they're going to say. And I mean, this is where kind of the suite of candidates, and we have a lot this year, right? And so yeah, that's part of the complexity here. We're not just simply saying, you know, here are the ones that are exactly going to fill these spots. Is that, you know, people vary, right? And there are opportunities here locally. The People's Forum coming up in a couple of weeks is one opportunity to kind of understand and explore some of this, multiple avenues for that opportunity, because it's easy to put people into buckets. It's more complicated and a little bit more work to recognize where there's some space between them or some real significant gaps. And that's where, as an informed voter, as a citizen, that's on you. But that doesn't mean it's impossible. So I would encourage the listeners to really take that to heart, that, you know, don't simply just default to what you feel like it might be right because you're kind of being told that information. You know, be an informed voter and wrestle with it and say, what fundamentally do I want to kind of cast my vote for, right? Because as voting works, right, it's this aggregation of lots of individual interests, and maybe yours wins out, and maybe not. But being part of that process in an engaged and informed way, I think, is fundamental.
And we will have some forums coming up here in the next month, and the League of Women Voters is doing one here with our radio station. We'll be having some more details coming out about that soon. But there's a new rule in the state law having to do with voting rights, and I think it'd be good for people to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that's changed is it's some language basically around the impersonation of an elections official. And I don't have it right in front of me, so I can't kind of read it verbatim. But for some kind of voter registration advocacy groups, not advocacy for particular positions or parties, but advocates for people engaging in the process of voting, there's a question about where the line gets drawn between simply sharing information, encouraging people to figure out where and how to register to vote, versus this sense of quote impersonating an elections official, which legally can get people into a lot of trouble. And so I've actually had conversations with some local voter registration advocates, and they've been told to kind of step away from some of the work that they've done in the past. I think in a detrimental sort of way, because out of maybe an overabundance of caution, but maybe not in some kind of unreasonable way, that they don't want to potentially be in a scenario that they're being challenged with a lawsuit, for example, either individually or organizationally. So I think, you know, I think these kinds of things can have some chilling effects when those who, if you know people who have been part of the league, for example, are strong advocates of elections being fair and inclusive and just giving people the resources to be able to step into that that voting booth and have their voice heard. If there's concern from those who have done that work in the past to be able to do that today, I think there's a real loss. And we've experienced it. It's been one of the questions that we've been kind of navigating. You know, K-State is part of the Big 12, which is back to 12 almost, right? And so we have conversations kind of with a network across the Big 12 about these things. You know, what are different campuses doing and the like? And so there's a lot of attention to elections, local, state and federal, when these come up, and you know, people are wrestling with these kinds of different questions because state legislation is a major factor, and it varies, right? And so this is part of the complexity. I'm from Colorado. What can we do? I'm from Kansas. How is that different? All of these things require us to be a little bit more informed, and that's where the Institute tries to play at least a part of a role in response to that.
But be informed. That's the key here. Be informed. Don't just go to the poll and not know anything. Go in there with a mission.
Yeah. And again, this is not kind of a laborious kind of level of commitment that one has to make, right? You can find some information. It takes a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. But if you can carve out and kind of commit to that a bit, it won't be such an onerous task that it's impossible. So again, I think just to reiterate what you said, being an educated and informed voter is key to citizenship. And if we want to kind of keep having the opportunity to wrestle with these questions in such a society, then voting is one of the most kind of foundational things that you can do.
All right. We'll leave it at that. It's always good to talk to you, Dr. Schaefer. Thanks for coming out in studio.
It's good to be with you. Thanks a lot.
All right. We'll talk to you next month. We're going to step aside, come back. We'll hear from Pawnee Mental Health, and Robin Cole will be joining us next on News Radio KMAN.